Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Josh Jay, and I'm going to be moderating this question and answer session with our Herschel Schachter. This is going to be an opportunity to ask Herschel Schachter questions on the interface of modern genetics and halakha. At age 22, Herschel Schachter was appointed to be an assistant to Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik Zatzal, familiarly known as the Rav. He's been a Rosh Hashiva in Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary since 1967, and has been a Rosh Kollel of the Marcus and Adina Katz Kollel Institute for Advanced Research in Rabbinics since 1971. And he also currently holds the Nathan and Vivian Fink Distinguished Professorial Chair in Talmud. Rosh Hashiva has published many scholarly articles in both Hebrew and English, and has written several svarim, including Eretz Arsi, Be'efei Hatzon, Nefesh HaRav, and others. Rosh Hashiva attended Yeshiva College and also received a master's degree in Hebrew literature from the Bernard Rebel Graduate School in 1967, the same year that he received smicha. This session is going to be recorded, and I ask that you please silence your cell phones at this time. Without further ado, Simon, have the first question. Yes.
I'm a pediatrician, and I have a patient who's engaged to get married soon. The patient has informed me that her prospective spouse is carrying a gene, a trisomy gene, which can potentially produce Downs. And the question is, they will eventually, they don't want to produce a Downs child, and then we'd like the halakhic attitude of what is better to do. Should the woman, which is pregnant, have an amniocentesis, or is it better that she should have PGD to prevent a child being born with this terrible chromosomal abnormality?
You mean by amniocentesis, should she become pregnant?
Should be pregnant,
and then she'll test it?
At some point in the pregnancy, she would be tested if she's carrying this particular gene.
Then not the vulnerable.
That is correct.
So abortion is a big dispute among the poskim. There are three different opinions, whether it's mutter, or rasam anatar, or rasam derabbanan. The generally accepted opinion is rasam anatar. The question is what the nature of the issue is, whether it's an issa bitzich, an issa chalola, and what the cutoff point is. It's somewhere of the opinion that up until nem yom, up until the first 40 days of pregnancy, we should have only issa chalola. Only after then is an issa bitzich. Others are of the opinion until she's in labor. It's only Nisa Chagola, some say when the ninth month begins, it's a Nisa Bitsicha. Moshe, his Shuvah is of the opinion even within the Menyom, it's also Nisa Bitsicha. You can only be mother it if you have Korab Levadai, that the Uber is already for the mother. I would assume that because of, even if you don't want to pass like on Moshe, that I would assume to Nichoshish for his opinion, I would assume that best would be to go the other route, even though it would be extremely uncomfortable that they should practice birth control during their entire marriage, and then when they're prepared to have a baby, they should have it done with artificial insemination, and then they'll test that egg, just to make sure that they're not going to fertilize an egg, if it's going to bring about a sick child. I would think that's the better of the two approaches. The question is, will it be extremely uncomfortable? Obviously, practice birth control.
Is birth control to
live
in that situation?
I would think it certainly is with them. Who wants to have a sick child? The reason why we don't permit birth control normally, well, the different forms of birth control, so some are prohibited because of ourselves, they are not told. Those forms that are permissible, we don't allow because of the mitzvah piruri. The mitzvah piruri, you want to have a healthy child. So you want to practice birth control to enable you to fulfill the mitzvah properly. This is a better route to take with the nonsense.
What forms have you
left?
What forms of birth control have you
Spermicide is most of the possible hold that's permissible. It's not 100% effective. Diaphragm, most possible hold nikaradin is permissible. If it doesn't interfere with tashmish kedar, it's not a violation of Hatzorah Zerah at all. Under such circumstances, we would certainly permit it. They want to have a healthy child. The birth control is in order to enhance the ability to fulfill the mitzvah, not to hold them back from fulfilling the mitzvah.
explain a little bit more. How does the healthy child connect to the mitzvah per se?
The mitzvah per Rebbe is only fulfilled if the person has a son and a daughter who are normal and healthy to be able to reproduce themselves. Let's say a person has a son and a daughter, he knows that they have a psychological problem, a medical problem, some kind of problem, they're just not going to get married. Then he's not in fulfillment of Peru Rivia. Peru Rivia is only if you have a son and a daughter who looks like they will be able to reproduce later. See, one of the healthy children who can later get married. I think in Eretz Yisrael, usually assume most of the Rabbanim recommend the IUD. Here in America, I think Rabbi Bleich has his hesitations about it, and published a lot. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's generally assumed that it's mutter. The whole is mutter in America also, just the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael are sometimes convinced.
Testing that they want to do, PGD, and they're doing it for Code of Menu. So the Heter, and for all the dealings that they do with these developing fetuses, based on the fact that before 40 days it's in my mouth. So first, Rebbe mentioned that the Moshe holds there might be an Issa Ritzicha even at that point. So how does he deal with in my mouth? And the other side of it is, once you hold it in my mouth, so that why are they looking? It should be mutter l'chatchila, you know, without any.
No, my biyama is still an isa. It's still an isa chavod. All the poskim assume that abortion is an isa. No, there are three opinions. The accepted opinion is based on the Gemara that it's an isa deraisa. The question is, what is the isa deraisa? So many poskim say up until a certain point it's an isa chavod, and after that point it becomes more serious. It becomes an isa nitzicha. It's an isa nitzicha. You can only be matarit if you can declare the uber is a roidif, and then Moshe thinks that the uber is only considered a roidif if it's karv levadai, that the mother's life is in danger, and by aborting the fetus, it's karv levadai and save the mother's life. But the alternative route would be that they should practice birth control the whole time. When they're interested in having a baby, they should test the egg from the mother. They shouldn't have her become pregnant. Test the egg, and then have the sperm, have artificial insemination. If the egg turns out to be a healthy egg, then you have artificial insemination, then you put it in her body. Solve all the world's problems.
I saw a
student
recently for Rosh Hashanah, where he said the mitzvah who can't be the Kodesh Baruch Hu's mitzvah is to have the bed in the box, it's not the other. So it has to be that the mitzvah kibush of Baruch Hu is the nice fear that eventually leads to the bed in the box. So if that's the case, how does IVF by mitzvah for Baruch Hu, and in usual fertilization doesn't include a nice fear? It involves removing the
zera
and then putting it inside
the practice. I don't think Ramosha Sternberg means literally. He just means the mitzvah is attempting to have the children. So here he's attempting to have like this. There is a question if you have, this was a big debate 60 years ago, if you practice, if you have artificial insemination, is the blood mesiachas after the father? Let's say the husband is a kohen, and they can only have children through artificial insemination with his own wife, can only have with the doctor's intervention. Will a child be considered a kohen or not? So years ago, the rabbanim were not so convinced. Somehow, in recent years, everybody forgot about that. Everybody assumes that the child is mishachas after the father. Remember, a couple of years ago, I spoke in Eretz Yisrael at a conference of Purim. So I mentioned this. It's not so clear that the child is mishachas after the father. So after I finished speaking, a young man came up to me. And he was very upset. He's a kohen, and he can't have children with his own wife without the doctor's assistance. So he was very upset. He said, "Shlaim Zalman told me my children can do it. What you tell me that is a question?" Okay. So Shlaim Zalman asked him that the ben is mishachas after the father. So if one should assume the ben is not mishachas after the father, then the Gemara says you're not in fulfillment of Pirim Berivim. But if one should assume, like Rabbi Shlaim Zalman said, that by artificial insemination the ben is mishachas after the father, so then doing whatever you can do, attempting to see to whether you should have children, that's what Moshe Steinbach would say, that is the mitzvah. You can't say the mitzvah is to have the children, you don't control it. The mitzvah is to do whatever you possibly can do, but there is a teva. To have the children, so the mitzvah would be to go through this whole procedure.
It would seem then that it's predicated on the fact of Jesus. If you are not going to accept that, then the whole procedure to begin with shouldn't be done. Because all the heterim are based on puruvu. If you're not going to plant puruvu anyway, then why are you doing in vitro fertilization in order to produce children? You're not going to plant any mitzvah.
Well, non-Jews no longer have the mitzvah period ready. They must zavutel matan Torah, the mitzvah applied to all people in the world. They have the matan Torah, it's never an issue, it only applies to Menei, so it doesn't apply to them. So non-Jews also have a desire to have children. Normal, healthy people want to have children.
Here we are involved with so many Shiloh, Chazazera, and other things that are needed in order to do, the in vitro.
Yeah.
So that has there is because you're going to something positive is going to come from.
It's not without Tola. You want to have children.
Does not be Torah mitzvah. It's enough that it's.
I don't think it has to be Torah mitzvah. He wants to have children. So. It's not without Tola. It's not as I think it's to have children. That's what the Israel of Hashkas is there is. Not for the sake of having children. Here, other rabbi, he's doing this in order to have children.
Yehuda's not again.
Yeah. If you hold the Beis Hamikdash, it won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah period, but I still have the satisfaction that at least they have children.
What do you feel about heading to the bracket, the BRCA breast cancer? But somebody wants to do this now.
Just something
that one of their brothers has breast cancer, they want to check.
So, what's the issue?
You know, they marry, you know, the people.
What's the shaila? How do they test?
How do you deal with this? I mean, it's positive. They got one,
the rabbi, the woman wants to live longer, so she wants to know if she has this possibility of having the disease, and she'll take care of it. Father Rebbe, sounds like a good idea.
The children that are young children have to deal with it also. The mother has it, a 20-year-old girl has to deal with issues.
So, wouldn't it be better that they should know about it than they shouldn't know about it until it's already too late? I don't know. What are the researchers recommend? What do the Ummah Zoylam recommend about it?
Well, I don't know. You should inform the genetic counselors.
So what do they recommend? Not familiar.
You say that the hope that that is not the chances from the father when you have in vitro is a problem of yichud with his daughter.
Is there a problem of yichud with his own daughter? Nah, the pashtus is that the exception to the rule that yichud is muta, a father with a daughter and a mother with a son, it's not because I'll be din, it's because psychologically we know that these people are not going to start up with each other. But Moshe has a tshuva where he talks about step-brothers and sisters, step-children. So he says he has a gemara in the end of sight that would appear from the gemara that there's no yisir yichud. He says if they were brought up from a very young age, as brothers and sisters, as children. So here it's mamish. Biologically it is his child. Genetically it is his child. Just al-pidin, it's not misachis. The pashto system is not a problem. We had recently an incident. There was a boy here who was learning in the high school in empty. He was from Eretz Yisrael. It was a very strange story. The children were taken away from them. When the children were born, the father left the mother. And then the mother, besides psychological problems, so the government in Israel had to take the children away from the mother. And the grandmother was raising the children. The grandmother passed away, the mother's mother. So when the few relatives were sitting Shiva, so all the aunts showed up to the Shiva home. And she tells the children, these grandchildren, I want you to know that your mother was not Jewish. The grandmother who just passed away was Jewish, and this was her adopted daughter. She was a Russian, Nachris, who was adopted. She wasn't Jewish. So the children found out that they weren't Jewish. So the boy was all shaken up. So they recommended we should go here to high school for a year. And the kid was davening, he was keeping all the mitzvahs, and he was learning. So he was Megayer. So then he wanted to go back, and his sister was engaged to marry a boy from the Hesdi Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and she didn't yet convert. So someone said, someone around Bonham said, Zanisa Yichud, a brother and a sister, Zanisa Yichud, because Gershon has got cut in Shinala Dhamma, so he's not related to his sister. So that's not a joke. A brother and a sister, there's no Issa Yichud, it's a psychological club. Of Cook has a comment on a Gemara like that, in Sugas. No, so most of the Rabbanim agree that this is psychological. Het HaYichud depends on the psychology. It doesn't depend on what he did, whether the blood is psychic.
So adopted
no shadow. If you adopt from a very young age. Someone showed me a paper that had research. There's a very low incidence of incest of natural father living with his own daughter. And the incidence of incest by an adoptive father is slightly higher. It's not the same as by normal people, but it's slightly higher. So there is room to do so. The last Lubavitcher Rebbe has a famous letter that he sent it to the Otzer HaPoskim when they published the first volume. So they quoted some of the Poskim who say that when you have an adopted child, there's an Issa Yichud. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe sent in a letter which they printed in the end of the second Chelek. The Otzer HaPoskim and Eben Ezra, based on what they wrote in the first Chelek, it's not recommended that people should adopt because you're going to have an Esek of Yichud. So many Lubavitcher won't adopt when they have problems. They won't adopt because the Rebbe said it's a problem of Yichud. But Soloveitchik told over on two different occasions, Lubavitcher came to him because he knew that he was Mekel, so he came to him. So he said, you're not allowed to ask me. You have your Rebbe said you're not allowed to adopt. So what are you asking me? So, in one incident, the husband came to speak to Rav Soloveitchik. So, they designated Rav Soloveitchik to live in Boston. He used to come to the yeshiva on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So, they made up he's going to come to Rav Soloveitchik's apartment across the street in the dormitory on Tuesday afternoon after the yeshiva at 5 o'clock. So, he's ringing the bell, ringing the bell, nobody there. So, the Baal HaBos went to Rabbi Chalap. He said, Rabbi Chalap, you made an appointment that I should meet Rabbi Soloveitchik. He's not there. So Rabbi Chalap knew the unlisted phone number. He called Rabbi Soloveitchik. So Rabbi Soloveitchik answers the phone. So he says, ready. His Baal HaBos keeps on knocking on the door, ringing the bell. So he says, I know he's ringing the bell. What am I supposed to tell him? What am I supposed to tell him? So he says, but you made an appointment to meet with him. So you got to meet with him. Okay, send him over. So he goes across the street. So the Baal HaBos walks back. 45 minutes later, he goes back to Rabbi Chalap. He says, I don't understand. Rabbi Soloveitchik gave me, they were married for 15 years or something, they had no children. And the doctor said they don't know how they can help them. So Rabbi Soloveitchik gave me a drasha for 40 minutes, the way the halacha is not etched in stone, and Mishas Abchak, and Mekel, and Mekel, and this, and then at the end, the last 5 minutes, he says, I'll tell you what, wait another 2 years, and then come back and see. So he says, after giving such a whole drasha for 40 minutes, the way the halacha is not etched in stone, tells me to wait another 2 years. What are going to wait another 2 years? She became pregnant, she had a baby 9 months later. So the husband called the Rabbi Soloveitchik. He said he wanted him to come to be the son. By the way, he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik, this is your baby. So he said, I have nothing to do with this. This is your baby. So he wanted him to say, he said, the bris was going to be on a Sunday. He said he had the koyach, Rav Soloveitchik was ready so old. He said he can barely come in to give the shikra on Tuesday, Wednesday, but he can't come in on Sunday. He wished them all the good luck in the world. Now, most of the poskim hold it by it, like Rav Moshe wrote, but by an adopted, if you adopt a child at a very young age, or step brothers and sisters and so on, that there's no reason. It's the minority hold like their rebbes.
If a child is born with a congenital illness, and this child will never have the same, will never have quality, equal quality of life that most people have, like probably have frequent infections, frequent hospitalizations, they have mental retardation, etc. Is what type, how much of a fee is there to have NICU intervention to sustain life when the child is first born?
A retarded person has, from his perspective, a normal life. don't know, do they suffer? Retarded people, do they suffer? We assume that Pikuach Nefesh is Lechon Shabbos, even Lechon Shabbos, to be cotton. One of the poskim writes, I do think that Loch Satan says, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save a cotton. All the later poskim say, that's ridiculous, why not? Lechon Shabbos to be cotton, why not? From his perspective, that's a normal life. Going to keep on being sick, so you'll heal him. Some of there is value. Unless the person is really going to be suffering. So that's the question. If there's no mitzvah to extend the person's life, the mitzvah to extend someone's life is based on Hashavas Aveg, or it says Hashigosolo. If the person loses a nickel, it's a mitzvah on Hashavas Aveg, it's Hashavas Gufo, it's a Kalbachemer from Hashavas Mamon. So let's say you have an Aveda Midas, the person throws the nickel out of the window, he doesn't want it. So there's no mitzvah on Hashavas Aveg. So if a person has no right to be Mevatim on his life, not allowed to commit suicide, so he's not allowed to choose, I'd rather die than. Have a serious illness, I'd rather die than get cured. That's ridiculous. But basically, Rav Moshe and his Tshuvas writes that it's really up to the patient to determine whether it's whether he wants to live on or not. Except that if it's such a ridiculous case, if you interview 1,000 people in this situation, so 999 out of 1,000 would say, let me live on. And this Meshuggah says, I don't want to live on. So that's Batla Dai, that's all that's called by the other. That's considered an unreasonable choice. There's the other direction also. Let's say 999 out of 1,000 people would say, let me die already. He's suffering so much, he says, let me die. And this Meshuggah wants to live on for some religious reason, a psychological reason, whatever. But Moshe says he's not allowed to extend his life. There's an avera to extend life. That's an Issa Chavola. He causes him to suffer longer. That's an absolutely unreasonable choice. But whenever it's not so clear, you can't really say Butler died eight or das called. So basically it's up to the patient to decide from his perspective, if it's within reason, that whether he wants to live on or not. So if you have a person who's born, he's gonna be suffering for all of his life. So Mistama, if it's major suffering, if you can predict there's going to be major suffering, so then Mistama, there's no mitzvah to extend such a person's life. 999 out of 1,000 people would probably choose in such a situation, Mavis is better than Chai. But if it's not so clear, so we probably assume that most people would probably want to live on, even with being a little sick every so often. Most people would probably choose life over death. So then you should extend life. Can the doctors predict in advance that he's going to be suffering, that the patient is going to be suffering? A retarded person, I don't think they suffer. They have a lower level of understanding what's happening. But from their perspective, they lead a happy life, I assume.
But can suffer be objective? Because how do you see yourself as a normal person that he's not normal? That is a suffering. That's kind of like a suffering. How do you realize that he's tired? You don't realize.
But under the circumstances, he's not normal. So in his condition, that's a reasonable request that he would like to live on. I don't think we're ever allowed to kill someone via dying to save someone else's life. That we don't permit. We're talking about the mitzvah to extend someone's life. There's Ritzicha Bikumba, I said, there's Ritzicha B'Sheva of us. So Ritzicha Bikumba, I said, we don't allow. Unless the fellow's a roidif. But if he's not a roidif, you don't do. But the Ritzicha B'Sheva of us, it means there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveid. It's obvious that it's unreasonable, absolutely unreasonable from the perspective of the patient. Then you're not doing him a favor. A person is not a balabas to take his own life, but he is a balabas to determine whether you're doing him a favor by extending his life. So if it's a situation where it's clear and obvious that we're not doing him a favor, then there's no mitzvah to extend his life. After the stipler passed away, so they published a collection of letters. Like after the Chazanish passed away, so they published a collection of letters of the Chazanish. After the stipler passed away, So in one of the volumes, somebody asked him this shayla, is it always a mitzvah to extend one's life? So he says, when we were young children, it was ingrained into our minds that according to the Jewish position, you always extend life. Then we got a little older, and we started a little Gemara, and we learned the Dorim Daf Mem, and the Ran says that it's not always a mitzvah to extend life. Sometimes there's no mitzvah. Sometimes we try to hasten the death of a person when he's suffering. Then we got a little older, we still have Skod and Shulchan Aruch. The Ran is called a lot of Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, but it's absolutely unreasonable from the perspective the Chayla wouldn't want it. There's no, you know, I like a kilo, it couldn't be upset. But there's no mitzvah to extend his life.
Does halacha recognize DNA as evidence or?
I think I'm going to be giving a big presentation about that later. So we'll cover that.
If your disease is running in a family, if your mother has breast cancer, family, colon cancer, heart disease, diabetes, mental illness, and what's that for sugar with someone in that daughter doesn't want to be here? Are you going to tell them to pray, to find them, to find a set of mother, or not tell them? How do you do that?
You know, whatever reason you know, you're not sure
that's the pashtus is that whenever there's a serious problem that the other person might not have agreed to the shidduch, if they would have known about this sickness, then you're supposed to notify them about it. Doesn't mean you have to notify them before the first day. You won't get to first base. You won't even be what to discuss. You have to notify the other party before the holding by clinching a deal. Usually you say by the end of the fourth day, they should say. That's if the maduber knows that he vaday has some problem. He just have a sickness running in the family which he may not suffer from. He may not be a carrier of
diabetes. Diabetes. Let's say your parent has diabetes. Yeah. Is it a fair chance that the little,
you
know, when I pick this over diabetes?
I don't know what percentage likelihood is there.
Both parents have diabetes.
And if only one had. I think my mother had diabetes. I don't think any of their children. I don't know. I didn't tell my wife about it.
Before we call the generosity about the shidduch group, it's important not so much your shaykh to shidduch. So the perspective where Carla's mother calls us, she's asking me the background on him. And she wants to know a lot of the background of his family, medical background of his family. In this case, his mother had a form of Alzheimer's. His mother was an MJ doctor. And in her 30s, she was a victim of this form of Alzheimer's that caused her to become violent. She was institutionalized. And he was raised by an adoptive mother from his father's second marriage. Would you be obligated to expose that to somebody where it's not, you know, such a, it would be likely to be passed as a genetic trait? It's a situation that was.
How likely is it? I have no idea. Early Alzheimer's. How likely is it?
It's very uncommon.
Very uncommon.
It's very
uncommon. It's a far-fetched
thing. Directly,
the mother's
medical history. If you dance around it, you
can put it in the answer. They don't know. I'm a chief, they know everything.
That's not the doctor.
Pardon me?
That's not
the doctor.
Is that the same?
Maybe you should tell a boy that when he goes out with a girl before the fourth date, he should bring this up. Usually people talk about family. So usually they don't talk about sicknesses in the family, but if it's a thing that may be relevant to the shidduch, so the proper thing is they should bring it up. Remember there was a boy from the yeshiva who was bipolar, and there were people chasing after him for a shidduch. So the boy took out a girl and he said to the girl's father he has a medical problem and if he wants to know about it he should call me. So the father called me on the phone and I told him what the problem was. He was interested anyway. He wanted the boy anyway because the bipolar was under control. He was taking medication. He was such a nice boy that he married someone else. The girl didn't want him but for a different reason. But he married someone else. The proper thing is whenever there is a serious concern, they should mention it at a certain point before they get married.
They're not
No, not before, no. These people will never get married. That's not right.
Is there a way of telling what a chromosome is based on chromosomes?
You mean an androgynous? Let's say you have an they say they fly all the androgynous in the world to Johns Hopkins and they do surgery based on the chromosomes. So that's a shaila. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't know about this. So do we assume that that's the solution to the problem? Or do we still say that an androgynous is something that's off a psychic? Okay. I think Robert Tendler published an essay on this over 50 years ago, no? I think he assumed that we do follow the chromosomes. He published it for the Orthodox Jewish scientists, ALJS, many years ago. I think he assumes that we do follow the chromosomes. I don't know what the generally accepted opinion is.
But also look at it, like here's something called sequence feminization, where the chromosomes are XY in male chromosomes, which a person looks like a perfectly normal female. She does not have internal organs. No uterus. Extra looks like a female, has breasts like a female, but it has testes which are in the groin area. So basically she looks like a female, but chromosome is called XY is male.
I think I never researched the Talmud. I think Rabbi Tendler assumed that Allah does recognize the chromosomes. Even in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't know anything about this. That's the question. How can you establish a din based on something that the Tanaim never heard of? That's, I don't know. Got to work on that.
Supposing you send Dorcas to bury with Niasma, you take the sign that's not so around the cable, bury with Niasma, and it's not a gay chromosome.
Right.
Third.
Right, we don't follow that opinion. We assume an androgynous is Sophic, because also Sophic in the cable. So maybe we should push it to Sophic based on the chromosome. I think that was Robert Tendler's position.
But well, a lot of cases now, it's not clear where it came from. It's like, you know, everything goes up, the saber's offer is very small. Not as pure Timon and Caleb and pure Timon and Dog. That's very rare. In most cases now, the pseudo
method.
You make actual rare. What is it? I think that's what's important.
Don't know.
The case of Down syndrome increases at the age of the mother. So as the mother gets older, you can learn that there are markers for Down syndrome. So this causes many people to just stop having kids at a certain age. So because of that situation, our mother might allow people to get pregnant when they're older and then they'll go to the person and then use an abortion if they sit down. What is the rough thing about?
It would be better to do it the other way, rather than to do the abortion, which is, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, is an issa deraisa, even within the first 40 days. It would be better to recommend the other way. When the woman is at an older age, when there's a concern, so she should practice birth control. And then, if and when they'll be interested in having more children, they should take the egg and test it, and then have artificial insemination. It's better to do it that way than to have the abortion. I would assume so.
Okay.
Still, yeah. If it's not, the whole issue of abortion is only when the fetus is inside the mother's body. If it's in a test tube, that's not a petri dish, that's not called an abortion.
There's one in Rabbi Willie, he discussed the test for the BRCA genes. It turns out, you mentioned that there's a girso now that a younger woman, even if she took the test and got a result, she's not going to take any action on it until later on, like late in the 30s or even at the age of 40. My question is, what is the dilemma about taking the test and getting a result even though you're not going to act on it at this time? You still take it. I mean, it's important to have the information.
The test consists of taking out something from the body.
The test is just to detect whether or not you have the gene.
So how do they detect that?
Blood test.
It's simple. I mean, if the person is donating blood anyway, so they
to
take blood specially is at least a havona.
A lot of women in this situation are young women whose mother, for example, has the gene. Or they may have a system as a gene. They're high risk. They're in their early 20s. They were not married yet, or they just got married. Right? They know it's already been demonstrated that they can have children, they can be okay to a certain point. Right? The question is, a lot of these women decide not to take the test. There's a bit, don't check whether or not you have the gene now. You're not going to do anything about it until later.
Well, for halachic reasons, they don't want to test.
No, for psychological reasons.
Okay, isn't that? That's up to the person. I would recommend it, and they're going to test later. They'll test later.
I think that the question is that the woman wants to do the test, knowing that
she's not going to do anything for the next 10 years.
She's not going to do anything.
Have to go. Testing, taking a blood test is an isa chavola, but chavola the tzorach tikkun haguf is permissible. So the tzorach tikkun haguf doesn't have to be in the next 20 years. The woman has a right to plan to live another 20 years and take care of it then. You're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos today because maybe in a far-fetched way, maybe I'll save someone's life down the road. That's too far-fetched. But if it's her, she's testing, and she's going to ascertain that she has a certain condition, and she will plan to take care of it at a later date. So that's what Tzorach Tikkun HaGuf. That's permissible.
Shef mentioned earlier regarding IVF for artificial insemination that the zera is not bakal because it's being used for a purpose of having children, so it wouldn't matter. That it would constitute bakal. But the same, before they do IVF, before they do artificial insemination, they usually test the zera and these whole sorts of things. And they're not going to use that zera for purposes of having a child, but it's just for the testing. Would that also be considered not bakal because it's necessary to accomplish the same goal?
I think in general, it's also mutter. Moshe Feinstein has the Chumra, which many do not accept that there's an Isser, Hashkos Azera, even if it's not Levat Tomer. So it's Levat Tomer, so you have to do it either Groma. Okay, so you can figure out how to Sasar Moshe's Chumra also. If a person is so inclined, many don't agree with her Moshe, they think it's a stomach. It's not Levat Tomer. If it's for the sake of having children, so that it's not Levat Tomer.
Even if Azera per se will never be used
for the testing, yeah.
Could you do that? You said Kabbalah, the name of blood. So a person is not letting any blood in the body. It's a question I take. Unless it's going to be used for some test that has to do with itself.
Or to save someone else's life, as a cause of damage.
So if I decide one day I'm not sure what blood type is, I just want to know where it is, I take some blood out, I'm not making therapeutic, just information. That would be passing to some tests.
Pashtas it, that should be an Issa. Yeah. It's an Issa Chavola.
Hey, you want to know what your blood type is, because if you're in a situation, you have to know what your blood type is. Right. You have to know your blood
type. Okay, if he has that in mind. Okay.
What about if he's going for a regular routine blood test, but immediately take an extra two? Is his Chavola sick with the need for the vein, or the amount of blood that comes out?
I would assume that every drop of blood that they take out is an added Issa. I would assume so. So the amount that's taken out, let's sort of to see if I have a sickness, that's mutter. Then I have to have a good hefter for the next drop of blood also.
It's not the stick with the pain that
comes out. I don't think so. I think it's every bit of
blood. The Mashiach
is Mashiach. Mashiach. Adam wa nefesh, right. The Mashiach is Mashiach. Yeah. Taisa spoke to Tzayim Shama, Ki Adam Wa'anevish, Achoy Bo B'Shabbos, His Chayim Shem Tivas Neshama. Malikot Mekul, Malikot Mekul, that's the accepted opinion. Ki Adam Wa'anevish.
Earlier you were talking about the person who wants to extend their life, not extend their life, and you said that the person generally has a bias over what he considers to be a help for himself, unless it's so far right from them that people disagree with him, so he's in the kind of life of the Kabbalah. So we're going to force him to get therapy. How far would we go in forcing this person? Give him medications about Barcode, give him surgery about Barcode, especially in, let's say, in the United States, where we're assuming that he has autonomy, he has the right to disagree, and then the doctor
can
lose his license if he
can
try for assault. How far is
the right to go? Yeah, the United States is against the law, so there's nothing to discuss. But when the Degel HaTorah will take over the Israeli government, or Shas will take over, so then they'll follow the Pesach of the Mogen Avraham, who goes to the Rambam, that you do surgery, well, of course, the person doesn't want the surgery, so since if it's absolutely clear that his choice is unreasonable, so we do the surgery, but under the circumstance that America he can't do, nothing to discuss.
The spread doesn't have to lose their job over.
Certainly not to lose their
job.
It's not Kof Nevesh, it's Samar Adam Reyev. So I tell a patient, I want to do the surgery, I want to save your life. He says, it doesn't let me. It's Mechuyif to force.
That's actually all the time we have right now. I'd like to thank the chapter for agreeing to give the session. Thank you all for coming and for your questions. And we hope you'll come to the next plenary, which will be in this room shortly.